A tour accident in Skagway leaves dozens injured, and a new Skagway port lease may go to a special election. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Nearly 30 people were injured on a tour in Skagway Wednesday. According to a press release from the city, a Unimog touring vehicle went off the road at the Alaska Excursions dog camp around 11 a.m. The Skagway company offers tours of a musher's camp in Dyea. The fire department and EMS volunteers responded to the scene at 10 Mile Dyea Road. 28 people were transported to the local Dahl Memorial Clinic. 25 of them were treated and released. 3 were medevaced to receive further treatment. According to the clinic's executive director, Shelley O'Boyle, injuries ranged from bumps and bruises to several broken bones and a few head injuries. The clinic's emergency plan was activated to respond to the accident. It's the first time the measure has been taken in a couple years. In 2014, 23 people were injured when a White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad train derailed. The fire department and municipality declined to provide any information beyond the limited press release about Wednesday's accident. Skagway leaders continue to work on a 15-year tidelands lease that would prolong a private company's control of the waterfront. Residents will get a chance to weigh in through a public vote, but the assembly is now talking about scheduling a special election later in the year instead of rushing to meet deadlines for the October 3rd general election. Over the last couple months, the Skagway Assembly met many times to discuss the White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad lease proposal, and the tone during public comment has generally become more positive. Tim Borsey and Jan Rentmore spoke at a special meeting Wednesday.
I think you're making progress.
I'm more comfortable than I've ever been.
But there are still concerns.
I want you to be able to work on the lease issues without the feeling of having a ticking time bomb hanging over you.
That's Elaine Furbish. The ticking time bomb here is a floating dock. Port consultants have urged the city to start permitting and design work on the dock ASAP in order to get it built by 2019. That's when bigger cruise ships that need that infrastructure are due to arrive.
If you feel rushed, don't rush.
John Finlayson is White Pass's president. His company holds the key to a majority of the port under a lease that doesn't end until 2023. In order to allow the city to access the ore dock and build the crucial floating addition, the company wants to extend its hold on Skagway Tidelands to 2038, another 15 years. At previous meetings, Finlayson said White Pass would not work on the floating dock without the new lease. But Wednesday, he indicated that as long as a Tidelands agreement is in progress, it might be possible to start laying the groundwork for the floating dock.
Possibly there's a way to initiate the project, in a sense, jointly initiate it, with the caveat that the town will vote for a lease.
After these comments, the assembly went into executive session with the borough attorney for about an hour and a half. When they came out, they seemed to agree on one thing. Here's Tim Cochran.
The time frame to get this on an October ballot is just not realistic.
The assembly discussed holding a special election, possibly in November. In the meantime, the city's negotiating team will continue to meet with White Pass leaders, and the assembly will continue to discuss updates at its meetings. Changes made to the proposed contract terms recently include a boost in White Pass's contribution to contamination cleanup at the ore dock. Another amendment would give the city a more active role in cruise ship scheduling, even though the lease maintains White Pass's status as cruise terminal operator. The agreement would require regular meetings between the city and railroad to discuss cruise scheduling and operations. Continuing White Pass's control isn't what everyone wants, but a couple Skagway leaders said without the agreement, the city's place in the cruise market would be jeopardized, and that's a big risk.
We have incurred an insane amount of debt.
That's Port Commissioner Tim Borsey again. He referred to Skagway's bond debt and the town's reliance on cruise revenue to cover budget deficits.
Your budgets, as they are maxed out. You guys are using cruise ship CPV head tax money to pay the bills for this community.
Borsey and others disagree with a finding in port consultant Moffitt and Nichols' reports. Moffitt and Nichols said if Skagway misses out on the bigger ships that need that floating dock, its overall cruise income will still increase. But Borsey says that's based on a flawed assumption that smaller ships will take the mega boat's place. He said in order for Skagway to continue paying its bills, the lease with White Pass needs to move forward. Construction on the $13 million first phase of the Haines Small Boat Harbor expansion has been underway since February, but work is taking a little longer than originally planned. As KHNS's Abby Collins reports, dredging is causing the holdup.
Contractors are dredging the harbor on a warm, sunny day on the Haines waterfront. After months of work, it's a familiar sight and sound. But this part of the first phase of the harbor project should have been over last month. Here's Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan.
There's certainly a delay with the dredging of what they were hoping for, but dredging is scheduled to be done at this point at the end of the month.
Ryan says the issue lies in the soil on the ocean floor.
There's a hard, packed layer of soil, sand, and rock from the glaciers, and so that's been harder than they anticipated. It was called out in the geotechnical analysis, but I think it just took them longer than they thought it would to break through that layer that's up where they're dredging right now.
This delay is likely to push back the timeline for the rest of this phase of the project. Ryan doesn't know yet how it will affect the cost.
They were hoping to be driving piles by now, and that looks like maybe the barge with some of the pile driving equipment is going to come up in the first part of September. They'd hope to be already up here driving piles.
But Ryan says he's hopeful the work will still get done before the deadline for using grant money.
From my perspective, you know, it's looking good, but the slowdown on the dredging is definitely worrisome, but we have until mid-June, or until the end of June and next summer to be done without needing an extension on the grant.
The first phase of the project also includes building a steel wave barrier, replacing moorage pilings, and adding on to the uplands area. Contractors initially planned to complete work by the beginning of 2018. In Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
The commercial harvest for Dungeness crab in southeast Alaska this summer was the smallest in several decades, but it might not be a complete bust. As Angela Denning reports from KFSK in Petersburg, the harvest numbers only tell part of the story.
Summer season for dungies closed early in southeast, 3 weeks early. I sat down with Kelly Wood, a crab biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, to find out what happened.
How did it go this year?
The thing is, Dungeness crab in southeast are tricky because state managers don't know a lot about them. The crab are on a 4 to 5 year life cycle, and the commercial fishery is expected to fluctuate accordingly. But there are no stock assessment surveys, so biologists rely on commercial harvests to track the population. Most years, the population seems healthy enough to hold a 2 month fishery. But this summer season closed early because the harvests weren't meeting the threshold set in state regulations. The season brought in 1.3 million pounds, which is the lowest harvest in over 30 years. The historical summer average is 2.7 million. Since the season was cut weeks short, it's not surprising the overall harvest was low. The situation is kind of a catch-22. Managers, like Wood, have to close the fishery because of numbers, but now they won't get a picture of what a full harvest would have looked like.
I think overall, though, in general, things weren't as good. And a lot of that could be due to the fact that the crab were just not on the bite.
Not on the bite refers to the crabs molting when they lose their shell and are not hungry. Dungeness crab fishing is all about luring crab into baited pots when they are hungry. And crab without a hard shell or soft crab have no value anyway. So this summer's low harvest could be due to a late molt. It could mean that the crab are there, it's just bad timing. managers are still evaluating how much of this summer's harvest could have been soft-shelled. If there's a lot, like in 2013, then this fall's fishery could be normal or better than normal. Managers would, by regulation, open up the fall season for at least a 30-day fishery. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. And coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, a rebroadcast of the KHNS and Chilkat Valley News Special Recall Election Forum.